The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns. The Gospel of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, this is one of those gospels. It's amazingly interesting, you know, how the Lord will speak sometimes, sort of to get his point across, you know, almost in reverse. You know, when we hear this talk about division, in many ways, you know, the way that he says it is just like, "Oh, I come here to actually do this thing on purpose." In one sense, that's true, but it's more in the reverse sense that. Not so much that he's causing division just to cause division, but that he knows that the very truth of himself, his gospel and the truth that he is preaching, will by its nature cause people to divide. So he knows that just by his coming is going to cause division. But sometimes the verbiage makes it sound like that's it, that's his aim, right? But we remember when he's resurrected, and he's appearing to his disciples for 40 days. What does he say? You know, "Peace be with you." So he obviously brings peace. But what do people reject? They reject his peace. And we heard that yesterday in the gospel, or at least the utter iteration of that gospel, is that you might go and bring the gospel to somebody, and they may outright reject it. But your peace, that peace of Christ, will always return to you. Again, I remind all of us that the Holy Spirit is always given in full measure. But sometimes because of sin in our life, it's actually blocked in some sort of way. So it's not always received in full measure. But the Spirit is always fully and freely given by God. And we remember that, especially in our confirmation. In the sacraments, again, Christ's continuing ministry on earth, he gives us these sacraments so that we can receive him in the fullness of the Spirit. You know, one of the things that's difficult about the priesthood, you know, Father Carey and I probably, oh gosh, I mean, we celebrate probably over 500 Masses a year or something like that. And for me, and just in prior career and everything like that, I've been publicly speaking for 20 years or so. And so I think about it. It's very difficult sometimes when you're up here speaking, right? You know, because sometimes you might accidentally say the wrong thing or misquote something that you just got jumbled up in your head. And it's very difficult because you have a lot of people keeping account of the words of one person. And so it can be a very difficult place to stand sometimes because you say many, 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 many words over the course of the years. But one of the things that we're trained to do, what Father Carey and I went to the seminary for, was Oddly, not what we're doing right now. This is one of the things I like to remind folks, because, you know, you guys don't have the opportunity of being in the seminary, but they don't teach us like very much about doing the sacraments, actually. Most of that happens on like our pastoral assignments, like when we're here at a parish for the summer or something like that. You'll learn how to serve Mass so that eventually that you can celebrate the Mass, and you'll learn how to serve a baptism and eventually celebrate the baptism. Most of what you really learn in theology and in philosophy is how to think. Actually, how to think. We remember from the scripture to put on the mind of Christ, where he says to the apostles sometimes, you are thinking as men do, not as God does. So a lot of the time, we're trying to think about how does God see the world? And that's the truth that we give to you, and that is absolutely going to cause division. One of the things that I've mentioned that I did in my career was I worked in the cycling industry, and the Tour de France, the biggest cycling race in the world, is going on right now. And so I've been watching some of the coverage, and it's kind of enjoyable. And I was recently reading a book about cycling by a famous German cyclist. And so one of the biggest scandals in cycling, and we knew this was Lance Armstrong, was what they call doping, taking drugs, basically, taking performance-enhancing drugs. And it has been rampant in cycling for many years, and people continue to hide it, and people to disguise things in blood tests, and all these different things. And so this German cyclist, who was always against doping, always against taking drugs, he finds himself in a very challenging situation that sometimes we all find ourselves in when it comes to speaking the truth. He's in the middle of a race, the Tour of Germany, so he really wants to win because this is his home tour, his home country. And he's in a good position to do so. And he's riding with other riders, and he's riding really well. And he's speaking on the radio with his team director. And he's thinking about holding back because he's afraid that everybody's judging him for taking drugs. And so he's worried to win when he's capable of winning. And the director says, that is not how we race. He's just like, you win because that's what you're here to do. You ride the best that you possibly can. You know, we'll deal with the press and the results later on. But sometimes that's where we're caught as Christians. We're a little bit afraid to speak the truth because we're like, I don't want to push myself here because I don't know what the repercussions will be. And so I'll take a very controversial subject. Why not? Why not take a really controversial one to go there? And so like gender ideology right now. So if we understand God's divine law and his natural law, very much St. Thomas Aquinas was really the one who laid out the idea of the natural law of God, which is always subject to his divine law. If we understand how that works, that in gender, it says God created them male and female. Male and female, he created them. So we believe that there are actually two definitive genders out there in the world. And because of that belief, right now in our culture, there's a lot of pushback and fighting against that very ideology. And so to speak out about that becomes something that's really difficult. But one of the confusions that happens that comes from culture, so we have to look, is this idea coming from culture, or does it flow from God to a natural law, right? Females are naturally ordered to giving life, bearing children into this world. And men are ordered to, you know, impregnate in that process, partners in that process. They're two very important biological functions that propagate our whole entire species, the way that God made us to complete one another and complete a part of his plan. And so one of the things that gets confused is equality with sameness. They're different. Equality, every one of us, every male and female here in this church is equal in our dignity as created brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. But we are, in fact, different. We're not the same. That doesn't mean that our dignity is any different. It is completely equal. And there are many things in society that need to change to make that happen. That's a real reality that we deal with. But we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater sometimes by looking at things from a construct that comes from society. We always have to look back to God and say, well, where does this truth actually flow? And it always flows from the way, the truth, and the life. You all know me, you've known me now for a year and stuff like that. So if there's any of time that sometimes there's a difficulty in what I say, please always know, of course, I love you and I care for you very, very deeply. So if I ever say something that's offensive, you know, give Father Carey and I the benefit of the doubt. We never say things to offend, right? We say things like the Christ says, to give you the truth of Jesus Christ and the truths of the church and the tradition of our church. And that will cause division. Sometimes we're going to have to agree to disagree. But always realize, none of the words that we say are ever done with malice towards any of you, to single anybody out. But it really is to give you the truth of Jesus Christ. It's a tough place to stand, I will admit. But, you know, it's something that God called me to, and I'm willing to do so. But always know that at heart, I really do have your best interests and you knowing our faith at heart. That's why I became a priest. And so, you know, if there's ever a question, just approach me, right? You know, just ask. And I just say that because it's like things will be divisive sometimes. But we can sit down and we can always kind of figure some stuff out amongst us. But remember, there are some hard truths of Christ, and he brings them to us. And that's why he uses that image of a sword. A sword is a pretty divisive instrument, you know, right there. So it's important that we realize this, but that we understand what the church is actually trying to preach and teach, truth itself. God bless you all today.